The date is June 6th, 2003, and we're watching Too Fast, Too Furious. Welcome to I Used to Like This One.
Hello and welcome to I Used to Like This One, the show where we take a look back at movies we remember fondly from our childhood and attempt to look past the nostalgia to see if they still hold up. My name is Sean Wells, and with me, as always, is the fast to my furious.
You didn't want to risk the races?
Well, see, I actually had a flipped race jotted down, but I thought the fast to my furious was funnier just because we were talking about how pissed off I am at my knees right now.
Right. So I think you did fast. I think you did fast the same thing for the first one, no?
Do you remember? I feel like I did a Brian and Dominic for that first one.
Oh, did you?
I must All have. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyways, everybody, I'm Colin Stewart. Happy to be here.
I mean, Vin Diesel is a little ethnically ambiguous, so, you know, there is always that quality that, you know, it's I'm not doing the black-white thing, but I was going to come in with you being Brian, because just, I mean, you know, Paul Walker is fucking cool anyway.
He very much is.
Yeah. So, well, this week we're looking back at June 2003, when the movies and theaters were, this is a good lineup, Finding Nemo, Bruce Almighty, The Italian Job, The Matrix Reloaded, and of course, our movie for today, Too Fast, Too Furious, which earned $236.35 million on a $76 million budget. Big budget, but I mean, that is a good return on it.
Yeah.
That's a healthy return.
I feel like after the disaster that was Ace Ventura When Nature Calls, we need to do Bruce Almighty to cleanse the palate of bad Jim Carrey.
that could be a good choice, absolutely. Yeah.
Yes. But as always, there will be spoilers ahead, so if you don't want this movie to be spoiled for you, like a NOS-fueled seat ejector, then please hit pause, go watch the movie, and then come back and hear what we have to say.
So I found 8 taglines for the poster of this movie.
Eight,
yes. You're going to see a trend with the first 4, though. The first one, too cool.
Okay.
And let me state that any time I say the word 2 from here on out, it is the number 2. So always keep that in mind. Second tagline, too bold. Number 3, too sexy. I'm too sexy for my shirt. And number 4, too tough. And a tough spelt T-U-F-F, because I think that's how you do it on the street.
Yeah, yeah, that's some early 2000s shit right there.
Tough, T-U-F-F, yeah. Okay, well, now we get into the bigger taglines. Number 5, how fast do you want it? We're getting into dirty territory here, because number 6 is how fast do you like it?
Yeah, that's 2003 right there.
Well, number 7, the new models are in.
Okay.
A little bland. And number 8, cross the line one more time. That's the only one that I think is, like, truly got any kind of clever double meaning behind it. Because, you know, dirty cops and shit. Yeah, you know, cross the line one more time. Also a racing reference.
Some double entendre.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, I like that one.
So, all not very good descriptions of this movie, though. So, let's go to Colin for a 60-second synopsis. A speedy 60-second synopsis.
Yeah, let's make it too fast. I owe you
260.
This is going to be a 10-second synopsis.
Oh, really? This was not planned. Okay, yeah. Here we go.
No. Disgraced police officer Brian O'Connor has left at Los Angeles and traveled to Miami, where he makes a living as a street racer with his new friend Tej. After he's caught by the feds, Brian is forced to enter into a deal to use his driving skills to help the FBI and federal customs take down a drug lord named Carter Verone in exchange for his freedom and a pardon for his past sins. To aid him in his mission, Brian is allowed to handpick a second driver, and he chooses his former childhood friend, Roman Pierce. With the help of undercover customs agent Monica Fuentes, Brian and Rome get hired by Verone to transport a significant amount of cash to him so he can flee the country before the feds take him down. But in order to do that, they will need to maintain their cover, drive fast, and not get killed.
Oh boy. Yeah. With this sequel month, I mean, Ace Ventura 2 was garbage, Beverly Hills Cop 2 was not bad, and American Pie 2 was still very solid. So, I mean, we've had a good month leading up to Too Fast, Too Furious. Mm-hmm. Now, all three of those other movies, I remember much better than this one. I have very little history with Too Fast, Too Furious. I believe I saw it in theaters because I was hype for it back then. But I think that might be the only time I ever saw it. I did not remember this movie at all. This might as well be a first watch for me because I remember it that poorly. Mm-hmm. So that's my history with Too Fast, Too Furious. So it was kind of nice after the month that we had to bring it home with this one for myself. So Colin, I know that you love the Fast and Furious franchise. So
I do.
What is your history though with Too Fast, Too Furious specifically?
Yeah, I love Fast. Like I love all the Fast and the Furious. But that being said, you know, I'm a Dominic Toretto, Vin Diesel loyalist, and so Tokyo Drift and Too Fast, Too Furious are definitely, I would have placed them at the bottom of my list. They're the ones I've seen the least. I think, like you, I know I watched this movie in theaters, but I've probably only seen it like maybe once or twice since then, and I definitely haven't seen it. I haven't seen it within the last, like, I don't know, decade at least. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It wasn't a familiar watch for you either.
No, like it's interesting because I don't know if you've watched like Fast X, like the new one, but it's like in that movie, they're really starting to like pull threads from like so far back as far back as even this movie. Like I forget how much like things they've tried to like bring so much, because the first three movies just seem like largely disconnected, like there is no plan, but then like you know, six or whatever, they've tried to like retcon things, and there's stuff like Carter Verone comes back into play and stuff in the later movies, but I really didn't remember much about who he was or like really anything that happened in this movie. I remember it'd be like, oh yeah, I think that was that guy, but like I don't remember what happened in that movie at all. It mostly just serves as like, all I really remember about this movie is it's where Roman Pierce gets introduced and Ludacris and Tej.
Yeah, I mean, I went to my DVD shelf and I realized that I've got the first one, and then it jumps to Fast and Furious and then Fast Five. Like that's what I have on my shelf. Mm-hmm. I don't even have two and three on my shelf. So, you know, that says something, I guess, right?
Yeah, two and three. It's kind of funny because two and three were definitely the like black sheep movies. Yeah. They still are the black sheep movies of the franchise, but they've weirdly become better because of how the later movies have incorporated them into the overall story.
Okay.
It's like a really weird thing. Like before I would have said, you know, that Tokyo Drift is basically like akin to like any one of those like weird like Christmas Story 2 or Vacation 2. Like I would have said that's Tokyo Drift. It's so disconnected, except it has this tiny little Vin Diesel cameo at the end. And same with Too Fast, Too Furious, I would have said, is just kind of like a bad sequel because it gets rid of Dominic and that kind of stuff. But Now, in the overall arch of the 12 movie saga or whatever it's gonna be by the time it's done, like they now weirdly fit in okay. They did like a pretty good job at like melding them in a way that makes sense. Ish. People might push back against me saying it makes sense, but like, you
No,
know,
but
they did
Deadpool
a
can
good
make
job with it.
Elektra cool, you
Yeah,
know?
exactly.
Like,
Exactly.
yeah.
Yeah,
So.
Deadpool and Wolverine can make us forget that like the Elektra movie was an absolute abomination.
Well, okay, here we go. Let's jump into Too Fast, Too Furious, directed by John Singleton, who is like, you know, like super celebrated director. Like he's the guy that did Boys in the Hood and Poetic Justice. Yeah. He died at 51 from a stroke in 2019. So, yeah. RIP John Singleton. Produced by Neil H. Moritz. He's producer on anything that's Fast and Furious and anything that's Sonic, the Hedgehog, you know, and the boys, yeah, he's a producer on that, and written by Gary Scott Thompson, Michael Brandt, and Derek Haas. And so it's funny that you're like talking about how you're a Dominic loyalist and everything. I did read that this script, they had two different scripts for this movie. And one was if Vin Diesel came back, and the other was if he didn't. So I'm wondering if whatever they had going on for the other script is what turned into Fast and Furious.
I don't think so because from what I gather, I should have looked this up before, but from what I remember about reading at the time was that, like, I don't think at this time Vin Diesel had much like creative stake in the Fast and the Furious franchise. And so he didn't have like a lot of control about this over the story and whatnot. And he didn't like I think he just didn't he didn't like either version, so he chose not to be a part of it. And then, you know, there was kind of some fan backlash, I think, from Too Fast, Too Furious because he wasn't there. And then, you know, they tried to soldier ahead with Tokyo Drift as like a weird soft reboot that didn't really work.
Well, and he was doing Triple X when this came out, so that's why he also like he had conflict, so that one didn't take off for him.
And then I think, well, a similar thing happened with Triple X, right? Because
They
then
everyone wanted
he
him back, yeah.
yeah. But I think when Fast and Furious, something happened between Tokyo Drift and Fast and the Furious where like he was given more like creative control. Because going forward from Fast and Furious to the current day, he is kind of he's like the governor of that franchise.
He's a producer on it, yeah, isn't he?
Yeah, like he has some sort of like ownership of it and like how things run and like how what the story is gonna be, like whatever it is, like just overall creative control that I don't think he had back in these first couple films.
He moved the Triple X storyline over to Fast and the Furious, of
Yeah,
course.
basically.
So, my immediate thought before like even starting this movie was that like I hope there aren't as many sponsors in this one as there were in the first one because that is still the record holder.
Have to think
So,
there's more. Like it's I have to think there's more just because I noticed them.
yeah.
And I never really notice any.
Well, I mean, so, you know, I sit down and I watch the movie, and then, like, you know, they hit you with the Universal logo, and I mean, you know me, you know I love when the production logo transitions, and I gotta give it up to this one because the way that it turns into the hubcap, that turns into the tire, and boom! Immediate product placement in the first frame of the movie.
Oh, there we
So,
go.
might as well do sponsorship corner. This one is smaller. It is
Oh,
smaller than when
really?
I did. Yeah. Now, maybe I'm just lazier, Right, but they seem to intentionally trying to be like whipping past certain ones, and I wasn't taking as much time to pause at this time, but there's still a hefty chunk here. So always on the lookout for product placements in movies. This week, Too Fast, Too Furious is brought to you by BF Goodrich Tires, right there off the beginning. Toyo Tires, Dodge, Chevrolet, Lincoln, Ford, Acura, Honda, BMW, Ferrari, and Mitsubishi. Of course, Mitsubishi vehicles, Winnebago, West Coast Choppers, Quaker State Motor Oil, Rockford Fosgate and Mobile Innovation Stereos, Panasonic Electronics, American Airlines Arena, Nike, Kangol, Sean John, Reddy, Polo, and Puma Clothing, Golden, so 2003, Golden Corral Restaurant, Pepsi Cola, Sobe Juices, is that how you say it? The Sobe with the lizard, is that how you say it? Sobe? Sobe?
Oh
I
yeah,
don't know.
I forgot. I used to love those drinks. Do they even make those anymore?
Oh yeah, they do.
Oh.
I've seen them, yeah. Sparco Seats, Mopar Accessories, and I'm gonna read a bunch of things here. I don't know what they are if they're real, but I'll just car shit. So Celine, Year One, V Racing, NX, which I guess is Nitrous Express, Street Glow, and Speedway, Orbit Express, East Coast Fisheries, Versailles Restaurant, and Gallo's Pizza. Some of those might be real, some of those might not be. I don't know. Car shit. And this has been Sponsorship Corner. Yeah, not nearly as big, but like they all, yeah, all the cars have stickers on them, but most of them, they whip past them too fast to see. That's.
Too fast. Yeah.
There was so much neon lighting used on the cars that a technical specialist whose expertise was in shooting neon on film was kept on the set at all times. Yeah. Hey, who's that guy over there? Oh, that's Charlie. He's the neon guy. He's the neon specialist. Stay out
Yeah.
of his way.
Were you ever like big into the, like I kind of remember this era of like car modification that Fast and the Furious brought in. I didn't know, I mean, I come from a rural town. I didn't know anybody who like went so far as like with the neon and the chrome, but I remember like subs being a huge thing.
Around this time, I mean, a little bit earlier than this, but I one of my many jobs, I was a salesman at Visions Electronics. And I worked in the car audio department. I knew nothing about car audio. I had no interest in
I need
car
to take.
audio.
I need a break. I'm just imagining. Were you like Seth Rogen in Knock in a 40-year-old version? That's the vibe
Maybe. Well, they made me supervisor of the fucking section too. Oh,
getting.
I was there in 2001 because I remember watching the Twin Towers crash on all the TVs in the store. Yeah. But anyway, so I had a subwoofer. I had a single subwoofer,
Yeah.
a little amplifier, and I had a fancy DAC.
Yeah.
I had switched out my gear shift because I drove stick, so I had switched out my gear shift, and it had buttons that controlled things on my dash. I mean, very high tech for my 2001 car. I mean, I'll tell you
Yeah.
what. But other than like putting some lights on the inside every once in a while for fun, like the kind that you plug into your lighter, not anything that's nicely installed. Other than that, yeah, no, I didn't go any further than a subwoofer and a nice DAC.
I have like two vivid memories of subs. The one is my cousin, I'd go visit them in Grand Prairie, and his sister had this like Toyota Celica that they just like jammed like these massive subs in the trunk. And if you I remember sitting in the back seat as we were driving to wherever we're going, I'm pretty sure it disrupted my heart rhythm. Like it was so loud that I could feel like my body vibe. I've
Yeah.
never been so car sick. It was so bad. And then I also remember in my town, I don't know, it's like small town shit, but people would like cruise,
Yeah,
where they would just like,
I did that on
they
Way
would just,
Up.
yeah, they would just drive and blast their music. And these like kids a couple grades older than me, I remember being in some class, and from like they were probably blocks away, but I could just hear the real Slim Shady through the window just
Nice.
blasting, and it got louder and louder as their as the car moved closer and closer and closer. And then or maybe it was either Real Slim Shady or Without Me, but it was one of those. But yeah,
Early Eminem, no matter what,
so.
yeah. No, and as part of being in the car audio department of this electronics store, I remember being part of a a sound off competition where we had a bunch of cars roll in and we were taking measurements of their sound pressure levels and shit like that. And it's like, yeah, and I had been part of the team that helped build the thing, right? Like, I wasn't an installer, but I was part of the team that helped build the Visions electronics truck that was done in one of those ugly fucking Aztecs. Ugh. Back when the Aztec was cool in 2001. Anyway, holy shit. So Fast and the Furious. So they okay, so they're very respectful hoodlums, I gotta say, because they are going around and putting out signs and blocking off the road. Like, I think that seems like a step up from the first one, right? They weren't putting out signs in the first one, were they? They weren't worried about Joe Traffic coming by, right?
No, I feel like in the first one they were limiting more to like it seeming like industrial areas and stuff too. And I think they were using like other vehicles to block the roads and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. They were all watching from a. But I mean, this is a much more elaborate race that they have set up in the opening scene here. And boy, holy cow, what an exciting opening race, too.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed by how I think that opening race is one of the best races in the franchise. Not that there are a lot later on, but I think it's better than any of the ones in the first movie for sure.
But I will say, boy, are they. John Singleton is like, what he did with the editing in this movie was just absolutely masterful, because I realized watching that first scene, and I went back and watched it a second time because I'm just like, that was quite a race scene. But he's tricking you a lot, because it's just a lot of shots of them stepping on clutch pedals or throwing a gear. The camera does not linger on anyone for more than 1 second in that scene.
They don't
It's
give you
just shot, 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 shot,
they
shot.
don't give you enough time to realize it in real life. They're probably just in what amounts to like an arcade
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I've done the same sort of driving in the old arcade machine myself. Yeah. You feel like you're a fucking champ when you're playing Sega Outrun, you know?
I love the bridge, like that bridge stunt too, like the jumping the car, like going jumping the car over the other car off the bridge. That's pretty sweet.
The convertible, because they couldn't put a roll cage in it, because it would be seen, obviously. For that one, it's a remote controlled convertible with a dummy in it. Yeah. But all practical. Original Fast and the Furious, they still went practical with everything. We don't have cars that are flying. Like, they're actually launching these cars through the air, which is cool with this movie. I mean, I think because of the fact that I'm so unfamiliar with this movie, I found this certain appreciation with it as a standalone just cop movie. Now, I will say that the whole villain storyline really is terrible, because I don't understand why this villain is so hands-on with fucking everything in his enterprise. But as like just a nice little action flick that's not part of the grander thing, I think I found an appreciation for it watching it 20 years later that, you know, I probably didn't like it originally. Because, like you, I think I'm more of a Dominic loyalist with this series. It's not quite the same series without him. So, it's...
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think as a standalone film, this movie is great. I also think it, for me, it kind of benefits, like, with the death of Paul Walker.
Well, to, like, there is
to,
that
for me
too.
To like
yeah,
go the... for me to go back to what it is now, where like he's not in it, and then go back and watch this movie where it's basically all him. It's just like kind of refreshing to me.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because like Vin Diesel, you know, like him or hate him, he is definitely a big presence in Fast and the Furious movies.
Yeah, I found in this movie it was just like there's a part of me that wants to like not tear Paul Walker down, but to kind of like critique, like I think in this movie, like Brian is so cheesy, like all his the weird like "What's up, cud?" like his like Ebonics and stuff and all this weird this weirdness, but you just he's just so Paul Walker is like so undeniably charismatic that it just works.
I know, like it's we're supposed to believe that this cop just lived the life so long that that's like who he became, man.
Like it's hard for me to like view him as like street when he's the like Aryan dream, but
yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I'll be there in 4 minutes. Like, yeah, his race to get there, you know. But he's a player. Like, he's got a girl in his bed when he takes off. Doesn't
oh,
he?
Yeah, yeah.
He's the man. He is Vin Diesel in this movie. You know.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk these people. Let's talk about these people because yeah, we've already kind of mentioned a couple of them, but let's run down this list quickly.
All right, we got Paul Walker as Brian O'Connor.
Yeah.
Tyrese Gibson introduces the character here, Roman Pierce, into the Fast universe.
I guess 50 Cent was in the running.
That would have been a game changer.
That would have been a much harder Roman, wouldn't it?
I think so, yeah.
I think that would have been a nah, fuck that. I'm not named Roman. Yeah. Nuh-uh. Yeah. Give me a cooler name.
It's funny to think about that. If he had been in the movie, not just for this movie, but like the franchise as a whole, because Roman becomes like the butt of every joke. He's like the comic relief. But I don't feel like 50 Cent could play that role. He's too hard.
Yeah, no, not so much.
Eva Mendez is Monica Fuentes.
Looking beautiful.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
She's gorgeous, yeah.
Cole Hauser plays Carter Verone, their drug lord.
Who we saw in Pitch Black.
Okay, I was trying to remember where he was from.
The cop in Pitch Black, yeah, yeah. So I guess if he's come... has No, he dies in this, right?
No, he lives.
He gets arrested. Yeah. That's right. So if he's coming back in Fast 10, like you said, then that means that he and Vin Diesel got to do a movie together again. Look at that, see?
Yeah.
Tied it all together.
Yeah. Chris Ludacris Bridges is Tej Parker.
Yeah.
Were you a Ludacris fan?
Not really. You know who I... I know this is just another rapper, but Exhibit. I used to love Pimp My Ride with Exhibit.
Yeah.
So, but I like when he turns up and shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he shows up in something. Really, Ludacris... I mean, I don't mind him as an actor, but really... As a rapper, I don't know if I actually know him. And okay. I'm surprisingly well-versed in early 2000s rap.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I was ever a follower of his music unless he guested on someone's that I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I was a big fan of Ludacris, especially in this era. Like, I remember... I don't know, it's such a trash song that by now, but like I love the song Area Codes. That's like one of my favorite rap songs of all time.
Area Codes, let me write that down.
Yeah, I got hoes in different area codes.
Okay.
Ludacris, he was actually just here. He was in Edmonton performing at K-Days not too long ago.
Area codes.
We have James Remar, Lord Raiden.
Yeah. Lord Raiden, and wasn't he also in Buckaroo Banzai or something? And
Probably. He's one of those actors. This is case in point. He's one of those actors that just like randomly shows up as like a character actor in so many movies. Like his IMDb
yeah.
must be huge. Because I was watching Too Fast, Too Furious, and then I finished watching it and I watched this like newer movie called Drugstore June, and he's in that movie as well as the dad. And I was
Yeah.
just like, oh man, this guy.
Yeah, and I remember him coming up in one of the episodes I did with Aaron. I can't remember what it was right now, but yeah, same sort of thing. Yeah, he's just
He's
yeah.
like if I were to be a professional actor, I think that's the type of career I would want, where I'm in a
Yeah.
lot of cool shit, but nobody really knows who I am, so no one's gonna bother me.
And it's not until really late in life that I start getting associated with one thing all the time. Because it's like now he's Dexter's dad. Like now he'll always be Dexter's dad, but he had like 20 years of career before anyone even knew that, you know? Yeah.
Devon Aoki plays Suki. She's a supermodel, apparently.
Oh, really? Okay.
Tom Barry, he's the other returnee from the first movie. He plays Agent Bilkins. What do we got
Oh,
here?
I didn't even realize that he was a return.
Yeah.
Okay.
Edward Finlay is Agent Dunn. What do we got? Mo Gallini is Enrique, the bald henchman, and then Roberto Sanchez is Roberto, the Hispanic Mexican. I don't want to say Mexican. I'll say Hispanic henchman.
Our first non-linker too. You jumped over Mark Boone Jr. as Detective Whitworth. I like Mark Boone Jr. in Sons of Anarchy, so
He's
he's the dirty cop.
yeah. He
He's the
also
one that gets rap. Yeah.
doesn't he also play Bullock in
Yeah,
the
he's a
Dark Knight
Bullock.
trilogy?
Yeah, he's one of the Bullocks, yeah.
Oh, I know this guy, MC Jin. He plays Jimmy. He's one of the mechanics. He's actually a really good rapper too.
Yeah, okay.
He's Chinese. Who do we got here? Amari Nolasco is Orange Julius. Michael Ealy is Slapjack. I don't know. The rest of these last three, I don't really. John Senatiempo is Corpy.
Yeah, the Neil H. Moritz is police officer. That's just one of the producers making a cameo, so
Okay.
yeah. You know you've hit the bottom of the cast list when you're at the producer cameo. Yeah. Oh, Stan Lee is himself. Oh, okay. Yeah. This was the last Fast and the Furious movie to be released on VHS. The end of an era with this Fast and the Furious, yeah. So yeah, I know that when I watched this movie, I mean, I knew the ending of the first movie that he lets Dominic get away, and I never realized there were any consequences for his actions. So in the beginning here, I thought he was still kind of an undercover cop working a different angle now, being in Miami. And then it's like, oh no, he's actually being pulled in by these cops. But he's getting sucked in for one last job. What? Just when you think I'm out, they pull me back in.
It's kind of funny because I think by the time you get to Fast and Furious, he's back to being a cop again somehow,
Yeah.
which I never really
Yeah.
understood.
Well, because he keeps doing so much good for law enforcement agencies, I
I
guess. Yeah.
suppose.
I mean, I also love how like the least outrageous weapon, like future gadget that they have in this is that electric harpoon that they can shut down all his computers with. All his electronics in his car get knocked out. Nowadays, like they have fucking everything like high tech, right? So I don't know, it's just it seems so basic. It's like, oh, that's the outrageous thing. Whereas, nowadays it's strapping a fucking rocket and like going to the lower atmosphere. That's what's outrageous now, right? In this first one, they can zap your computer with these fucking harpoons.
It is funny to think, like, the coup de grace of this movie is Brian flying the car off a dock into a yacht. And that's just like that's just like another day at the office by today's standards.
You look at that
Today
one and it's kind of like,
they're like,
you might actually make that, you know? Like, he could legitimately maybe make that.
yeah, today they're like outrunning submarines and like throwing rockets with their hands and jumping between high-rise buildings in Abu Dhabi.
I'm sure if we take it at the right angle, we could skip this car across the water and catch that boat, right? Yeah, that's what it's like these days. Okay, so yeah, Brian gets got by the Miami PD. You know, Dexter's dad comes in and arrests him, and so they pull him back in, and he schools their cop, realizes what a terrible undercover cop this guy would be, and I'm like, yeah, that would have been me losing the job right there. What kind of engine would you run? I don't know. Are you using real words right now? But he's only going to do it if he can get his own guy, right?
That scene reminds me of a job interview that I had, my very first job. I don't know if I've said this on the podcast before, but my very first job was at UFA, and basically my job was going to be to like kind of sort lumber and that kind of stuff. And
Okay.
I'm doing the job interview, and my stepdad brought me in. I was like young. The manager, or whatever, he's like, well, like as long as you know the difference between a 2x4 and a 2x6, you got the job. And I just kind of like, I was like, yeah. But I was like, at that time, I did not know what the difference was. Fortunately, it was an easy solve.
Figured it out pretty quick. Yeah.
But yeah, I also think that James Remar does such a good job of being the high on his horse super cop.
Oh, absolutely. He so is. Well, yeah, no, he wants to pick his own driver, so we end up at a demolition derby. And I think that is the one moment that I actually remembered was the bit where they're like, I thought you couldn't leave home with that thing. Why do you think I'm parked so damn close? I think that might be the only part that I legitimately remember. And oh, actually, the boat crash. I do remember them launching it into a boat. If you had asked me, I wouldn't have remembered it was this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to a demolition derby?
I have not, no.
Yeah. They're pretty big. Well, I don't think they do it any, maybe they do. Back in the day, High Prairie, they used to hold one every Canada Day. And the one year I went, my brother entered it, and not only did he enter a car, but that year they had like a combine demolition derby, like the big farm equipment. It was epic, and he ended up winning, so it was even cooler.
Yeah, no, I've never done that. I've never done a monster truck or anything like that. I mean, maybe I should do one of those before I die. I've done an air show, but I've never done this kind of thing.
I'd say
That
that,
seems like it would be intense.
yeah, demolition derbies I find are cool, but they can also be like very anticlimactic because you're basically like taking a car and like completely like gutting it so that it's not gonna, explode or like catch on fire when it gets. So it basically just has like enough in it to run.
It's basically a cardboard box. You're basically crushing cardboard boxes.
And you're like fortifying it, but a lot of people, they like the mistake. This is my armchair analysis of demolition derbies. The mistake that a lot of people make, I see, is a lot of them will get station wagons because they think that it's like a, it's got a big caboose to hit with. But
It's got like a built-in tank,
what they
yeah,
don't
that you
take
can have.
into account is like it's seemingly there's a certain year where that thing was made to collapse. So what happens is they get one really good first hit, and then that thing collapses on the tires, and then they can't move. And so what always happens with these demolition derbies is that you take damage in the wrong spot because you always have to start by backing into each other before you go, they can turn around. So it's like a whole bunch of cars end up getting like kind of like handicapped on the first hit because their tires will explode or like pop or get caved in or whatever, and then they can't move, and it sometimes ends up being just a little bit of a anticlimactic. It's not the big like cars flipping over spectacle that you want it to be.
No, absolutely not. No one's losing any limbs or anything. One that I saw a reel for that I wish I knew where it was, but have you ever seen that video game where, you drive a car and launch it off the side of a cliff and let it tumble down
Oh,
and try to get as
yeah.
much damage? So I saw that, but they were doing it in
In real
real
life, yeah,
life.
I think I saw that same thing, yeah.
So they had people that were like on an embankment on the other side of like a large body of water, and then they were launching these cars off cliffs. And I'm just like, well, shit, that's the one to go watch.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, right, no one has ever gotten hit with a stray tire or something.
Yeah.
Like that body of water has been big enough every time? Really? Okay.
Yeah, no, I think we probably saw the same video. I remember seeing that too.
Yeah. Well, too fast, too furious. So they get sucked into the job, and so they now have to audition. That was another cool car chase. Like the race to go get his drugs or whatever was also a pretty good one.
Yeah, I like that one. Yeah, it was fun. When I was thinking about this movie, not having watched it in a while, I kept being like, oh, this is the one with Tyrese and the whatever, but I was surprised at how good the chemistry is between Tyrese and Paul Walker in this movie.
Yeah, it
Like
wasn't too
they
bad.
seem like there to me there was something even about the way that they fought, like after the Demolition Derby. It was such a like I don't know how to describe it. It was like a real fight that you would like real people would have, not like your typical like movie
Yeah,
in
not a Hollywood fight,
Hollywood slugfest. Like it just looked like a real fight, like brotherly fight. And yeah, I thought the whole way through that those two, like, I can they have yeah they have really good chemistry.
But of course, they show up in their fancy little, lowered whatever, souped up Mitsubishis, and everyone else is laughing at them because they've all got muscle cars and shit.
Yeah.
Okay, so during that race or whatever, during the freeway part of it, the one guy, like, he's dead now, right? He was crushed by that truck,
Yeah, I would say so.
right? Yeah, he's dead.
It
Okay.
went like right over him.
We didn't see that character at all in any other part of the movie. Yeah, no,
No, I don't
okay.
think so. Yeah, no, I don't believe we did.
They also just don't even yield. There's a stop sign at one point they don't even yield at. It's like, God,
I don't know
no
why.
regard for
I don't know why, but I noticed that too. And I was gonna ask you, I was like, I wonder how many stop signs they just blow past in this movie.
That one was a big one because it's like at that point, it's like, well, drive legally for now. God, weren't even part of the chase at that point. He did the stare and drive thing, didn't he? He got that from me.
I like that. I like the one thing about that guy who does get crushed is I was kind of thinking like, why would you like know your abilities? You know what I mean? Like, why would you try to lane split if you're not comfortable with it?
Yeah, it's. Yeah, I guess he. Anything you can do, I can do better. I I don't know. It's. I also had to laugh because the system that the FBI uses to track them is called Skynet.
Really?
So are we now adding Too Fast, Too Furious? Like the Fast and the Furious franchise, is it part of the Terminator universe as well? That would be fantastic. I always love when we find weird connections that we could pull these universes together with.
Yeah, it must be.
Yeah, I mean, we've already got Fast and the Furious that we want in the Transformers universe. And there was another one. It was shit, there was it was Triple X, I think we thought should be in the Fast and the Furious.
Yeah,
At
and
the end of Fast 11, you wanted Xander Cage to walk out or something like
I want
that.
Gone 60 Seconds in the
And Gone in 60, that's right.
Yeah, I want
Yeah,
Memphis
there we
Trains
go.
in the Fast Universe for sure.
Now, I will say though about Tyrese, there are some scenes where it feels like he's just doing his best Dominic impression. Especially like the scene with the bad guy where he like steals the cigar cutter and he's getting up all in his face and trying to negotiate a higher fee. It's like, did you and Vin Diesel go to the same acting class? Because got some of the same moves, man.
Yeah, like Tyrese, like individually, I think his character in this movie, it's like you can see shades of what he will be, but then there is like these other parts where he's trying to be like a little 50 Cent, like more gangster. He's
way too hard, and it's like it's not a good look on you, man. You don't play hard quite as well as you play like, you know, a punching bag.
Yeah. Like, yeah, like some of his best moments are like when the two goons show up at their boathouse there or whatever, and he's trying to like keep them occupied while Monica's trying to find a place to hide or whatever, or like anytime he's making fun of their Hawaiian shirts and whatnot and that kind of stuff. Like that's like grade A Roman Pierce.
Yeah, I like the running conflicts between him and the goons, but like see, now this is what I was saying earlier about this bad guy. Like he just micromanages fucking everything. This guy has all the time in the world. Go get your own fucking money. Yeah. Like, at this point, you're everywhere these guys are, and you don't think the cops are going to tie them to you at some point? Because, you know, you send your goons in, the goons are, like, tearing the boat apart, and then he steps around the corner and he's like, okay, enough, guys. Like, this was a fucking test the whole time. Like, stop fucking testing them. Like, don't you have some work to do? Don't you have some bad guying to do? Ah, he was such an annoying... he's the boss I hate.
Yeah, I agree. I kind of felt that like his plan, like what he needs them for, is almost like too low stakes to make a movie over.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like that's literally it, is like we're just trying to take down a drug lord, but like he has no like nefarious plot that they're also trying to be stopped, like where he's gonna be getting nukes or something, or like even trying to like kill somebody or you know, anything like that. Like he's not even trying to steal anything.
It's a heist movie, but he's trying to steal his own fucking money.
He's literally just he's literally just trying to like leave the country.
He's trying to run an errand. Yeah. That's
that was like the one thing where I was like, yeah, there's so, like every time he's on the screen, he seems so dangerous and threatening, but I was like, at the end of the day, it's like the plot might as well be like, I need to hire two drivers to go to like this fancy grocery store and get me $1,000 worth of groceries and bring it back. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just like the cops.
I need you to run down to Starbucks for me. Like,
It also doesn't make any sense because like the cops seemingly know where he is the whole time. Like, if you really wanted to take him down, I'm almost like forgetting right now why they even needed Brian in the first place.
Because of the money. The money is just the only evidence they have.
They needed the money.
Yeah, so because he's been hiding the money.
Gotcha. Okay, right, right. Like,
that's literally the plan, he's trying to reclaim his shit.
That should have been where the story started, but there needed to be something bigger beyond that.
Absolutely. And what I'm going to use this money for is to buy, like, this poison gas that I'm going to unleash on the city of Miami.
Exactly. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently, with the fact that this is in Florida, Bad Boys 2 was shooting at the same time.
Oh, interesting. Like,
literally, the scene where they crashed the car into the boat was filmed at a park. And on the other side of the park, at the same time, they were filming a scene for Bad Boys 2.
That's funny, because when I was watching this movie, I just kept thinking, like, it's amazing to me that Will Smith never made his way into the... And like, I could have seen Will Smith easily being Roman Pierce.
Yeah, until he went all,
More,
artsy
yeah.
with
But
his
around this
pursuit of
time,
happiness, and
yeah.
yeah, around this time, because he was doing iRobot at this time, like that's the kind of stuff he was doing. Yeah, I've got a note here. They also love their NOS cam.
The weird, like, psychedelic, like you're having a fever dream.
We've gone plaid.
It's their version of like light speed. They've gone
Yeah.
flat.
Ludicrous speed
Exactly.
with Chris Ludicrous Bridges. So and so they go to their meeting at the club, and now I remember there was one episode, I think it was a Kingsley episode, where you brought up the rat torture
Yeah, I
scene.
do remember that. I don't remember which episode it was, but I remember talking about
And
that.
so this is the movie that it was from. And the ankle bracelet or ankle monitor and him, at the demolition derby is something that I kind of remember. But for some reason, the rat in a bucket, I had completely blocked from my memory at all. And it was only the fact that I had heard you mention it at one point in the last couple years
Oh, I think I
that
was
I'm
talking
like,
about it when we
oh
did the
yeah.
Matrix, because I was talking about when
Oh,
we
maybe,
saw the little
right.
alien thing go in the belly button.
That's right. So it was recent. Okay.
Yeah, I remember watching the scene, that scene in the theater, and it was freaking me out.
Yeah. And it's another one of these scenes, though, that has me going, okay, why are these guys here? Is it just, it's to witness that this is what I will do to you if I, because they're not helping. You're not, so you're just getting, you're just showing off your dick to them? Is that all you're doing here? Is it just a flex?
Sometimes I feel I was torn about whether or not this movie was like how much the movie was trying to tell me that Verone is onto them or not. That's kind of a thing that seems, it's like if you believe he is, then it's the tension and the fear that they're gonna get caught is getting heightened. But for me personally, it was never clear enough whether or
He
not.
starts at full paranoia.
He starts too soon. You're right. He starts it. He it seem he seemingly is not convinced by them the minute they show up on his front lawn for the first test. And so, yeah.
It's like, well, then why are you holding the auditions? I mean, they came back clean. You've been sleeping with a fucking agent for a year and you didn't know it.
Yeah, exactly. He says something to like when they come back about how he hates cops. Like he says it really forcefully to them. Like he can smell it on them. But then I'm like, but yeah, you hate cops. But like, did you ever tell that to her? Or have you just been on board with her for the whole time? Like, I don't know. It's after the rat scene that we get the, they're like, oh, we need to get new cars or whatever, right? And then they go have the race off with those two dudes.
No, it's just before that, actually. Yeah,
Oh.
that's after they try to negotiate the higher fee. That's when they decide that they need the new pink slips. And so we get that race too. God, those guys are playing some dirty street racing. God, not supposed to ram them.
We'll give him a chicken.
Yeah, see, and that's where I had the note of they also love their NOS cam. And then they go to the meeting with the boss at the club after they get the new cars. And then we got the lady agent coming to see Brian on his boat, where Tyrese has to distract them. And then, like, the bad guy shows up anyway. I don't know. And then they end up having to go for their money. They find out that these guys that have been tailing them all the time are going to be coming along with them on the ride. Big surprise. But they're going to die. That's what the lady cop came to tell us, is that they're going to die. Like, again, what is this bad guy's plan? Like, why are you also murdering them? I don't.
Like, why do you need to if your plan is to just get the money and bounce? Like, what do you think they're gonna do?
Are you just rich enough that you have gotten a taste for killing humans? That you're like, okay, I'm gonna bring these guys in just so I can have them murdered and have that satisfaction, but I don't actually need them for anything? I mean, of course, they end up like the dirty cop. He ends up having a conscience, so it's all irrelevant anyway. All his threats to that guy's family, the guy's like, "Fuck it, send them in." Yeah, go after them.
I think it was a weird story choice to have the crooked cop not be part of the, like, to be completely separate from the whole FBI customs situation. Because then it's just like, oh, we got a jurisdictional issue here. Like, you know, like,
yeah, like, pretty much.
It would have been more interesting if, say, like, the dude who they were going to have be the second driver turned out to be crooked, or like somebody involved with the rest of everything turned out to be crooked. It just would have made it a little bit, there would have been more stakes, I guess.
Maybe James Remar should have been fucking crooked for all.
Yeah, you that know? Would have like, been epic.
Someone at the top, yeah. You know? They crash into the boat and he comes upstairs and it's like, what the fuck are you doing here?
Yeah, that was what the movie was missing. Something unexpected like that to happen.
Yeah, because this boss was acting like a fucking henchman because he was always around.
Yeah,
like Raymond Calitri, he never left his fucking factory and gone in 60 seconds.
Yeah.
Why the fuck is this guy walking down to the dock to check on Brian's houseboat?
Yeah.
Like, oh, this guy, he's just he's so creepy. He was a great bad guy, but the character is a terrible bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, he's just bad at bad guying.
Yeah, they needed they kind of tried to do one of those, like, swerve gotcha moments with the whole airstrip thing. But it doesn't work. It's not as compelling as you want it to be. They needed something to really, for us to really feel like, you know, something bad was going to happen. Like, you're never really even afraid of, for Monica's life.
No, not really. She's a capable police officer.
Yeah.
Right? You feel like maybe she can handle her own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it even shows that he's not a bad enough bad guy, the fact that he doesn't kill her immediately. Mm-hmm. Because he could have. You know what I mean? Like, Brian had a gun to his head. He wasn't doing anything. Like, he just had to kill her, go on his boat, and go about his day.
Exactly. Yeah. No, we have to have hostage.
But in typical James Bondian villain fashion, he hubris.
Absolutely. I also enjoyed the once the dirty cop decides to come clean. I like that we've got this big car chase with all these different cop car pileups. Mm-hmm. That was fantastic. I mean, that one gave Blues Brothers a run for its money with the amount of cop cars crashed. But the multiple cop car crashes, like. It's so great.
Yeah, I actually think Fast and the Furious is pretty well known, I think, for their kind of like final little race sequences that they have. And this one is pretty good. I like the whole multiple, like where they bring them to that warehouse and then they have all the cars come out. And even the logic of having it start with the trucks that come out and bash all the cop cars to make room. And then the little bait and switch that they do with their old cars and the new cars and stuff. I thought that was really sweet.
Yes, that was very cool. Yeah. But and I think even having Verone's henchmen there.
Yeah.
Like, they were fun characters to pair up with these guys in the car. Where it's just like, fuck, man, like, you're a good driver. Yeah. Like, no matter what, you know. Like, yeah, I like the love-hate that they have. They're just doing their job, but, you know, they respect, man. You know?
Yeah. Like, part of me, I mean, I don't know that it would have made story sense, but part of me almost wanted, like, one of them to come over to the good side.
to be the one to
save the day.
Yeah.
It would have been the bald guy for sure. The other guy. Absolutely. The other guy, he was bad to the core, but Enrique or whatever his name was, I think he could have flipped.
Yeah. No, the bald guy, it's the other guy was the ejector seat guy, right? Like, he's the one that, so he wouldn't have come back from that. He's like, no, man, you shot me out of a moving car. Yeah. And, The other thing that I like about this, okay, so we've got all the exciting stuff. They shoot them sort of half-assed with another electric dart. So we've got Brian trying to hold down the gas while the other guy steers trying to pull this dart out. So that was a pretty cool moment. But I like how, unlike Gone in 60 Seconds, the helicopter is able to keep up with fast cars. Whoa, weird. You're following at height instead of underneath overpasses. Go figure. You can follow. You can still keep up with these guys. Fuck. Like it takes the shell game. That's the only reason why they are able to get away, is because they pull off this weird shell game. But the one thing I found hilarious about that, when all these cars come pouring out, so many of them are just basic paint jobs that these guys' cars should still be easy to pick out from the rest of them, because they're the only ones with like silver stripes and shit. Everyone else is just like plain bright color. So yeah, after our decoy cars and all that, we get our ejector seat moment, and then we get our psych out because we're not actually going to the airfield. That's not where the pretty lady is. The pretty lady's on the boat. So we gotta have to wait. Wait, boat, car, boat, car? That was a good moment. The boat car, boat car. You're not gonna do what I think you're gonna do. And I'm sitting here thinking, yeah, he is, because it's a Fast and the Furious movie. You didn't look at the front page of your script, Tyrese. He is gonna jump that car right into that boat.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. I don't know if that how they if they actually jumped anything into the, for that stunt. There was something as I was watching it where it's just, so it's like sometimes you watch these movies and you're just like, the physics just seems off. The ran
You think maybe they're throwing a Hot Wheel through the air or
Like,
something?
it just didn't seem like there was enough of a ramp to get that height,
Oh, there never
and then
is.
even the angle that it hits, like I'm pretty sure the boat, like I'm pr the way I imagine it is like they're coming at like perpendicular, but they hit the boat like straight at the back, which I didn't seem weird, but I'm not gonna
Well,
put too much I'm not gonna put too much thought in it.
it's the magic loogie, that's what it is from Seinfeld. It curved, see? It's like Wanted, they're curving bullets. And so in the end, though, we find out that Brian is still a bad guy. Even though he did a job for the cops, he's still a bad guy because he steals a little bit of money for himself. So did Tyree. So they're going to open their own garage. And then the end, with except for our animated credits, the car racing animated credits, those are pretty exciting, I have to say.
Yeah, they're pretty sweet.
I do like, though, how after the animated credits, but just before like the real credits begin, they have the disclaimer about the stunts being performed by experts on closed courses. Like they don't even put that at the end where the Humane Society shit usually goes, right? Like they put that, no, we know you stayed around to watch this car animation. We're gonna put that right here, though. Do not do this shit at home. We know what happened after the first movie.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think there's a more dangerous time to be on the road than if you're in the vicinity of any movie theater after a Fast and the Furious movie lets out.
Especially in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
But there we go. That is Too Fast, Too Furious. Now, Colin on IMDb, it scored 5.9 out of 10 and has a Metascore of 38. Rotten Tomatoes, it has 37% on the tomato meter and an audience rating of 50%. But Colin, those are just numbers. Like crashing your car into a boat. Hit us with some reviews.
All right, Victoria Murray says 5 out of 5 stars. Too Fast, Too Furious was absolutely another brilliant film from the franchise. Paul Walker was absolutely amazing as always. He's one of my favorite actors and he will always be missed. Rest in peace, Paul Walker. Amazing car races in the film and a lot of action as always in these types of films. If you like action, car races, and drama, then the Fast and the Furious movies are definitely for you. It's definitely worth 5 out of 5 stars.
Wow, 5 out of 5. Yeah,
Yeah,
okay.
Mel Wilson says 4 out of 5 stars. I've only just got around to watching this as I've been quite busy. Okay. Keep in mind this review was written a year ago.
Yeah, okay,
We watched Tokyo Drift the other week, as we can't count as and that was twaddle. Whilst this was a much better film, I am more than a little confused by the title, as I found it neither too fast nor too furious. It was just about the right fastness, and if anything, wasn't furious enough. Other than that, it was a pretty good plot with lots of action as well as a fair share of unbelievable tosh, but I'll forgive them that. Now, as I'm only just catching up with films, I'm about to watch Titanic, so please don't tell me what happens in the Clever girl.
Twaddle, noun, means trivial or foolish speech or writing, nonsense. He dismissed the novel as self-indulgent twaddle.
Okay.
Yeah, as a verb, it's talk or write in a trivial or foolish way. What is the old fellow twaddling about? That out of everything in that review, that's what jumped out at me was twaddle.
Yeah.
But I mean, with whilst and tosh in there as well, I feel that's coming from the UK somewhere, probably.
Yeah, for sure.
Luke, are you reviewing this movie on IMDb or Google or wherever Colin is?
Soham says 3 out of 5 stars. Just watch this movie. For me, it's just entertaining movies. There's no special story, but this movie gives you fun and many things, just like Cars. They know how to drive cars. This movie is built for car lovers, and I like that they show the beauty of car lovers, but it's an average movie for me. Everyone plays their role very well. The main hero, Paul, was so cool, and I like his character. He lives in this character, and side characters also do their job well. No doubt everyone gives their best in acting, but the story is so poor, I don't like it. But this movie deserves one time watch because you will know how cars drive.
What, was there no punctuation in that one? That's how it felt like it was
No.
coming off. Yeah, I don't even think that this is like, I imagine it's a wet dream for a car lover. Like, I imagine there is definitely someone that has some sort of major raging hard on for this movie. But I think just from a casual standpoint, as someone who is not really a car guy, I still enjoy the action of it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't think, I don't think that's where your leanings have to be is as a car guy.
Yeah, I am like the least car person I know. And I love these movies, and I've always loved these movies. So I don't think you need to be a car person to enjoy them.
No, it's because you're a lover of family. That's
Exactly. I don't got cars, I got family. We'll end with this one. Tyler G says 1.5 out of 5 stars. Women go from props in the first movie to outright possessions in this sequel. The script is still written by a 14-year-old boy. All gearhead stuff is gone. It's just neon cars that go speed racer blurry visuals when they go fast. So many dumb and/or cheesy plot points from major to minor. The down and back when the guy racing Roman somehow hits a sign and it goes the opposite direction right in front of Roman. We tune into a poker game for 2 seconds and see a royal flush. Hearing cop sirens and taking 10 seconds of Walker dramatically looking around to say, "Cops!" I only told one person about the airstrip. Despite there being multiple of his guys, an entire plane there. Ejector seat sending a guy out the side at high speed off a bridge and into water, and he is fine. Do any of these cars have airbags? Too many more to note. The charm and style isn't enough to overcome the dumb.
Okay.
So I would say on the whole, it's kind of funny. On Rotten Tomatoes, the majority of the reviews are very negative. But on Google reviews, it seems like most people are like, "Oh, this movie is like way better than I remember it being," or like, it's actually one of the better ones.
Right on. I feel like that's actually kind of where I sit with it. I mean, I can't really say I remember it well enough. I mean, as we've been kind of talking through it, I remember a couple other moments that like flashed to me from, oh, I remember that. I remember the ejector seat and like the pressure of like Brian about to eject the other guy and be like, whoa, wait a minute, what do you mean we're going somewhere else? I remember that for some reason. Like, so there were a couple other flashes, but I don't remember it well enough to say that it's better than I remember. But I don't think it's a terrible movie. It's definitely a dumb, like it's not a thinker. Not a thinker at all, and you really have to set a lot aside if you want to enjoy it, but the action of it is solid. And I was there for how well those action scenes grabbed me, all the different car chases. I thought they were fantastically done. And so that pulled me through it. The bad guy storyline was very weak. The actor was great, the character was not, or how the character was written was not. But I mean, outside of that, yeah, I enjoyed it. It's not the best of the Fast and the Furious, but yeah, I think maybe people are not giving this one enough credit for where it stands in Fast and the Furious, but it's all right. Yeah. Colin?
Yeah, I think that as a sequel, I like this movie way better than I remember liking it. I would, like I said at the top of the show, I would have ranked Too Fast, Too Furious only above Tokyo Drift, which is the worst of the movies. Whereas now I think, and then there's like a gap. Now I actually think I like Too Fast, Too Furious more than I like Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. I think, yeah. I think as a sequel, it builds well on what's established in the first movie. You know, I like the allusions to what happened in LA. I like that we get to know more about Brian. I think the street racing is they take it up a notch. I actually think this movie, like all the racing and the car driving stuff, might actually be better than the first movie. The first
Yeah.
movie has a much better overall story with
Yeah,
what's
yeah.
happening
Oh,
with
yeah,
Dom
for sure.
and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think the like set piece action sequences are probably better in
Yeah.
this movie.
You could almost look at this as like its own Hobbs and Shaw type movie,
Yeah.
where it's a side quest for this character that you like, but it doesn't impact the, you know, it's the Rogue One of the Fast and the Furious franchise. You
Yeah,
know?
and I actually think on this watch, that's exactly how it should be thought of. I think that I don't think it's fair to think of this movie as like a sequel.
Yeah.
I think it work I actually think it works much better as just a standalone like Brian side quest movie.
It's not timeline, you know, canon. It's yeah, it's side quest.
And I think that for me is kind of because it's not like I was gonna do a binge watch of them all or whatever, and it's been a while since we watched the first one. So like yeah, watching this movie now is just a standalone thing. I was like, oh, it actually like on its own is pretty great.
Yeah, they managed to release Black Widow earlier in the
Yeah, I do agree
timeline.
with you that I think the one lagging part is just the Verone story, like whatever he's about. I think they could have done more to make it more like we have dirty cops and we need you guys to go on like almost what's there's a movie like that. There's another movie like that. Maybe it's a Batman one I'm thinking of, but it's like we need you to go undercover to figure out who the dirty cops are. That would have been that would have I think that would have been a better play of how to do this movie than just like we need you to go undercover to get the money, like do both, but there needed to be something more with that whole thing. That just that was the only part of it that was kind of unsatisfying, but like the action and everything around it is enough that I don't know, you kind of just get through
Yeah,
it.
what it is the first movie.
Well, in the first, I guess that is the first movie. In the first movie, Brian is going undercover, not to find out who the dirty cops are, but to like discover who's behind this like truck heist smug ring thing. And they needed something similar to that, where it was like You need to go undercover to find like who's dirty, not just to find the money.
Yeah,
There needed to be
the stakes
more
needed
at
to be
stakes.
higher.
Yeah, there needed to be more at stake for the police.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. That is Too Fast, Too Furious. That's the end of our sequel month, and that's our show for the week. Oh boy, if you like that show, well, just tell someone. Word of mouth is so important for a show trying to find an audience. It's the lifeblood of a podcast. Or if you want to go above and beyond, well, go over to whatever app you listen to your podcast on and give us some stars. Give us 5 stars, help drive us up some charts, help us get noticed that way. Or if you want to be a producer of the show, go over to patreon.com/I used to like this one, become part of our Patreon family, and you get a shout out just like executive producer Joshua Blum of the 13th Hour Podcast.
And be sure to check out our website, iselectthisone.com, where you can find links to all of our podcast episodes and social media pages. Drop us a line at iselectthisone@gmail.com and let us know what movies you used to like, and then maybe you'll find us talking about them on the show.
Music by Lyndon Carter. Look for his band Carter in the Capitals anywhere you listen to music. Oh boy, the sequel month, it's out of here. I have to say that we saw two really good ones and two that were okay. This one was okay. I mean, one was garbage. One was garbage, but I don't
How
think
would
we
you
brought it home as
rank?
strong.
I feel like I would, for me, I think this one and America, I would say in terms of quality, for me it goes American Pie
American
2.
Pie, yeah.
That was the top. I'd probably,
Beverly Hills Cop. I mean,
I think Beverly Hills Cop is the better movie, so I'll give it to that. I would say there Beverly Hills Cop 2 and Too Fast, Too Furious are kind of even for me. When Nature Calls is definitely the clear loser. The clear Lahoo,
Lahoo,
Zaher.
Zaher. Alrighty then. Well, we're into a new month, and oh boy, we're now back to Halloween. I'm very excited. Ooh, back to spooky, spooky movies. Except we're not starting off spooky because we're having our good friend Marin Richardson back, who we've always forced to watch a scary movie. But we promised her after Silence of the Lambs and The Shining that okay, fine. We're gonna go a little easier on you. So we've got Little Shop of Horrors coming up.
I've seen the stage play, but I've never watched the movie.
Okay. So we got some more Rick Moranis coming your way.
There we
Hot
go.
off of some Spaceballs recently, and so more Rick Moranis coming your way. Gonna see him sing and dance now.
Nice. I will temper my expectations.
Well, there we go. So until next week, when we watch Little Shop of Horrors for Halloween, I'm Sean Wells.
I'm Colin Stewart.
And we'll see you then on I Used to Like This One. Oh boy. Yeah. With this sequel month, I mean, Ace Ventura was garbage. American Pie was still solid. What was the other one we did? I forget already.
2003?
Well, no, the other sequel we did
Oh, the
this
other
month.
sequel we did.
Right? Was it that bad?
We did Ace Ventura,
American Pie.
American Pie, Young Guns 2? Or no, is that Westerns?
No, that was Westerns. What the fuck did we do? Wow. That boggles my mind that I cannot remember what we did.
Let me see. Let me go back to the Facebook
Oh
chat here.
This is absolutely ridiculous.
Not City. No, we just did City Slickers 1.
Beverly Hills Cop
Oh, Beverly
2.
Hills Cop, right?
Holy shit. Wow.